And so we're in this series over 2 weeks together that leads to our goal anointing service. It's called Divine Direction. We've talked about how to get a word from God for the year. We've talked about last week, I talked about getting God's vision for your life. And then today we're going to talk about his strategy of how to bring that vision to pass and will lead to goals. But let me recap for everybody. Our scripture is Proverbs 29 verse 18, and it says, where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law or the word of God. First thing I want you to know, and we preached about it last week, really encourage you if you haven't seen it, or even if you have, go back, watch YouTube, listen to the podcast. But this is the first thing. God has a vision for your life. He has an amazing vision for your life. It's a prophetic, it's a vision that he'll reveal by his Holy Spirit. Jeremiah tells us, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. Before the world was created, and before you were born, God had a plan and a vision for your life. He wrote a book for your life, and we've got the option to either opt in to God's vision and plan or to kind of stumble along trying to work it out ourselves. Jump on in and get God's vision for you. The second thing we discovered is this, is that at the center of everyone's vision should be your relationship with God. You and I have been created for a relationship with God. It should be the central part of our life. As we put God first, then all these other things get added. So for me, my lifetime vision is to have an intimate friendship with God. What's your vision for your relationship with God? He wants one. So I encourage you to think about it, write it down. The next thing is God's vision for your life is a big vision. You can't fulfill his vision on your own. You need God. If you can make your vision come to pass, it's not God's vision for your life. If you can achieve it in your own ability and your own strength, it's not God's vision. His vision is big. Here's the next thing. Living with vision will cause us to live with discipline because we're going somewhere. So that scripture said, where there's no prophetic revelation, that's words from God, God speaking to us, people cast off restraint. We're not disciplined. But when you've got it, when you know where you're going, when you're trying to achieve something, when you've got a clear why, then it's easy to live. Well, it's easier to live a disciplined, focused life because vision is infused in our hearts. Then three criteria. I'm just recapping for us before we get into today's message to discover God's vision for our life. First, let's seek Him passionately. Secondly, we have to serve others wholeheartedly. And third, we actually have to surrender our own dreams and see what God gives back to us. If you want to live a big God-breathed vision life, seek Him first, make it about serving others, and surrender our dreams so that God can put His dream in our heart. So I hope, who's spent some time this last week writing your vision down for your life? Give us a wave. Who's thought about it, prayed about it? Awesome, lots of people. Melbourne, I see your hands there. That's awesome. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 2 says, the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets so that he might run who reads it. Who knew the Bible knew about iPads way before they came? Make it clear on your tablets. Absolutely. So when you've got a vision and it's written down, I pray in a study, and I showed it last week, a vision board with 11 different components of my life that I want to, and as I look at it every day and I pray over it, that vision keeps me on focus. I once spent some time talking to a significant mayor of a council, and he said, I've got 10 key visionary goals that I want to achieve in my term as mayor. The problem is when you're mayor, he said, every day you come in, there's a new problem, there's a new distraction, and everybody else has got an agenda for what you need to be spending your time on. So he said, at the beginning of every day, I pull the 10-point vision out from under my desk, and I look at it, and I spend time thinking about it, so I stay focused on the main thing. This is why God said, write your vision and make it plain, so that you can run with that vision. All right, so that's vision. I encourage you, get that vision. I talked about how to get that vision last week, the ways that we can get God's vision for our life. But now we're gonna talk about strategy. Because having a vision's one thing. Writing it on the wall is one thing. But then how does that vision come to pass? How do we get that vision from a great idea of what we want our life to look like? And maybe the vision's a 20-year vision. Sometimes we've got to upgrade our vision. One of my vision goals is to have a great relationship with my on fire for God, healthy children. And so now I'm going to have to, sometime in the next few years, upgrade my vision and to include grandchildren. What the heck? So visions are progressive. They grow. They get developed. No pressure to my kids in Jesus' name. But it's part of the vibe of your life. And so by writing it up, there's a power in writing it up. There's a power in making it clear. There's a power in making it plain. But then from there has to be a step. So if you think of it like this, vision is where do you want to go? Who do you want to become? Who does God want you and I to become? That's the where and who. But then the strategy is, well, how is that going to happen? There's the where we want to go, who we want to be, but strategy is how we're going to make that happen. And then next week when we talk about goals, it's what am I going to do this year towards the vision for my life. And it's breaking, so we're taking the starting macro, then we're getting the strategy and the focus. And it could be for 20 years, you've got a vision that your kids, when they're young now, but one day they're young adults and you've got a great friendship with them and they're on fire. So you need a strategy to develop them over 20 years. But then what's this year's goals? So today, strategy, next week, goals. It might be like this. Your vision might be, I want to be an on fire for God disciple of Jesus. That would be a great center of your vision board, to be an on fire disciple of Jesus Christ. So that's your vision. Now your strategy, well, let's think about it. You think and pray and get a strategy. Well, you're going to be in the house of God every week, of course. Because if you take the log out of the fire, the log goes out. So you've got to be around with other people who are on fire for God. You're going to be plugged into a group to stay on fire. You're going to be at every prayer meeting to be on fire. You're going to have a daily, meaningful, quiet time to connect with God. You're going to study the Bible so you know the Bible. You're going to get to conferences that will stir that fire. You're going to find mentors who are mature in their faith and on fire for Jesus. That's the how. And then you go and say, well, let's set the goal. What's this year look like? And it might just be one thing. This year, what's my one thing that I'm going to do to get or stay on fire for Jesus? Maybe you're going to read the Bible this year, all through the year, one-year Bible, do it in a year. Maybe you're going to do a Bible college. Maybe you're going to do an internship. Maybe you're going to start praying every day for 15 minutes or 30 minutes as a commitment. Maybe you're going to go to Powerhouse Conference. Maybe you're going to read 10 inspiring Christian biographies of people who have lived an on-fire life for God. And that becomes the vision, the long-term strategy, but what's this year's goal that I can buy? You know, they say, how do you eat an elephant? Come on, one bite at a time. So what are the bites you're going to take this year towards the vision for your life? Are we making sense today? They say, okay, so let's look at, I want us to look at what the Lord's done and how He's worked His vision. Dan Frecker, you're a great visionary leader, got a great strategy. You'll be loving this. Let's look at God's ultimate vision at the beginning of time when He had a vision to create the world. And God, when He closed His eyes, could see creation. In His heart, He had a picture of the world. So there was vision. But then, it wasn't just vision. God did some things to bring the vision from in His heart and in His mind into reality. What did He do? Well, if we look at Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. If we want to create things and create vision, we need the Holy Ghost hovering and flowing around our lives. And then God said, let there be light, and there was light. God spoke His vision into reality. And the Bible says, He stepped back and He said, oh, it's good. He said, OMG, it's so good. Sorry, just I'm not sure if He said that, but it's good. He created with His words. That's faith. Everybody say faith. So God created His vision with faith, but this is interesting. We understand Proverbs chapter 3, verse 19, by wisdom, the Lord laid the earth's foundations. By understanding, he set the heavens in place. See, God didn't just kind of go, oh, I think I'll have some people. I think I'll have some, I'll create the world. I wonder what I should do. No, God, through wisdom, he made a plan. You see, he created the fish. Who thinks it's a good idea that he created the fish after he created the water? He didn't just go, I'm feeling like fish today. Let there be fish. Oh, flip, I forgot about the water. Oh, he made a plan. He had a plan, light and darkness, and separated, called it day and night, sky and waters, land, sea, vegetation, sun, moon, stars, day four, day five, birds and sea creatures, day six, land animals and humans, then day seven, he rested. There was a structure, there was an order, there was a plan that God had in his heart. By wisdom, he created the world. So when it comes to you and I going, how are we going to bring the vision of our life into reality rather than just dragging along in life, hoping something works out and falls into place? How am I going to bring it to part? It's going to work through these two things, through faith and wisdom. Through faith and wisdom. If it's an impossible God vision, you need faith. But you also need wisdom. So let's talk today about how we can bring faith and wisdom into our lives. Are you ready to go? We're not going to be flying by the seat of our pants. God was never flying by the seat of his pants. He has strategically worked out all of the plans and things he does. He plans them out of an overflow of wisdom, but he's made us in his image, so he expects us to create with faith. We create with faith. We strategize with wisdom. Everybody say this. We create with faith and we strategize with wisdom. So let's start with faith. The beginning of last year, as I was just seeking God, around about this time actually, seeking God about the year ahead, and the Lord spoke to me about my prayer life. And he said to me, this was the phrase that came to my heart, I want you to renovate your faith life. I want you to rent. Now, that language makes sense to me because at the end of every year as a team, we think around the life of our church and we say, okay, what's working in our church? What are we going to just keep doing and refresh it? What's kind of needs renovating? So we're going to upgrade it or change it. We did that last year with our dream team party and made it a meal and made a shift. Or what are we going to barbecue? Because it's time's up and it was great in its day, but it's time to no longer do that anymore. I love barbecuing sacred cows. It's kind of fun every now and then. All right. And so the language made sense to me. The Lord said, I want you to renovate your faith life. I'm like, okay, what does that look like? And the Lord was speaking to me about my faith and my prayer life. And I'm a structured prayer and I like to pray certain ways. And so I began to kind of ask and imagine. And so the strategy that I came up with God was to find 12 key faith scriptures. And each day after I'd spent time praying in the Spirit, worshiping, waiting on Jesus, getting the presence of God on me, loving him, just really kind of building that connection, I began to just declare the scriptures around faith. And so I'd put them in my phone, I'd put them on my wall, and I would begin. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things unseen. For by faith, the elders obtained a good testimony. And so I would just go, by faith, we obtain a good testimony. We get a great report because of faith. By faith, we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God so that those things which are not were created by those things we see were not created by what's visible. So I just would go through Abraham without weakening his faith, face the facts. So I'd just declare these scriptures. And I'd allow God's word to stir faith in my heart, understanding that the way God creates and the way God works is he gives us promises and then they get in our heart and they create confidence that something's going to happen. And then we speak those out and that our speaking it out of a confidence in our heart creates. That's how faith works. And so I began to do this. And during that time, I found that my faith began to surge. I found that rather than just going through the motions, praying for some things, but really kind of a little bit overwhelmed by discouragement, because you know what it's like when you pray something that you don't really believe. Don't look at me like I'm the only one. Come on, you know what it's like when you're kind of going, oh, God, I'm praying for this. It hasn't happened for 10 years, but maybe it could happen. Why aren't you answering? You've got, like, there's an internal dialogue going on, but you're praying out loud. Come on, who's ever prayed a prayer like that? I want to see a lot of hands here right now, because I know that's the reality. When faith's in your heart, you're not just asking, you're declaring. You can feel it. You can sense it. You have a confidence. Faith's the substance, but often we don't. So I found by kind of getting a hold of the word and declaring it, my faith began to surge. And then I began to go to work. So let me just kind of explain this is how it works. Because just because you've got a vision doesn't mean it's going to come to pass. And in fact, if you've got a God vision, it's going to get attacked. You're going to have delays. There will be opposition. If it's anything meaningful and worth fighting for you, your family, the call of God, things happening around your world, whether it be whatever it is, anything meaningful or significant is going to encounter opposition. In fact, it's usually a sign that you've got a word from God, that the devil tries to come and steal that out of your heart before faith gets in your heart. Anything meaningful. I remember about 6 years ago declaring some things around my life and around the church, and the next 12 months, my business, I've got a manufacturing business. I spend about an hour a week on this business. We're in the construction industry. My business, which had been going well up until that point, lost $100,000 in a year. Everybody say, ouch. And we didn't have a spare $100,000, so it put a lot of pressure on us. And so what I began to do is to seek God. I went back to, because one of my vision statements is around the business. It's part of God's call on my life. A scripture for me is, you'll be called a priest, a minister of our God, but you'll eat of the wealth of nations, and others will look after your flocks and your herds. That speaks about my business. So I'd go back to that scripture. Last week I shared about a whisper from God where he said, I will make your business successful. So I began in that season. Because when things are going wrong, when the opposite's happening, you need to really feed your faith. You really need to stir your faith. You need to get things that will inspire you. And the greatest thing, faith comes by what? Hearing. And hearing by the what? Word of God. The rhema, the quickened word. You read the Bible, it comes alive. It fires up in your heart. So I needed to speak the word. So I began to just speak the word, speak the promises. God gave me a promise in that season out of Isaiah, and it said, the former things have come to pass. Behold, I'm doing something new. I'm like, I hope so, Lord, because we can't go another year and lose another 100 grand. So then he went on and said, see, I've already begun. Don't you see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness, and I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. So I had to get that scripture, and I began to declare the scripture. Remember how God created the world? He framed the world with the word. And that word is rhema. God created the world we live in with the rhema word of God. He spoke the word and it created. The words that you and I are speaking right now are framing our lives. What's going to happen in your life in 5 years, 10 years, 1 year is being framed by the words that you are declaring over your life and my life right now. And if we want to frame our world according to the vision that God's given us, then we need to declare the rhema, the promise of God. We need to declare it till we believe it. And then when we believe it, as we speak it, it creates. So over that period of time, I would just be part of my morning when I pray for my business and pray for provision, I declare those scriptures. I declare, God, you've stored up success for the upright. God, you're going to turn this thing around. And you usually start with anxiety and worry, and then bit by bit, faith surges in your heart as you detach from the problems. You face the facts, but you detach from those and you attach to the promise. You move from the facts, which you don't deny. I didn't go around going, oh, we didn't lose 100 grand. That's just fake money. No, I'm like, we lost 100 grand. That hurt. We had to pull things from left, right, and center to get through. So that's that. I face the facts, but I don't live in the facts. Because if you live in the facts, you'll drown under the facts. Whether it's a doctor's report, whether it's a family situation, whether it's your career, your job, whatever it might be. So you don't live, you face them, you draw out, and then you attach to the promise, and you declare the promise of God. And so as we, come on, give the Lord some praise right now. This is how faith works. You get in an environment. This is why we're committed to this being a church and C3 Powerhouse being a place where we create an atmosphere for faith. I want you to come in here, and if you're anxious, worried, or fearful, we sing songs of praise and faith, because I want you to leave out of this place going, I know it seems impossible, but my God can turn that around. My God can make that work. He's a miracle worker. He's able. That's what we do in this house. We're a house who believes the promises of God. Not in denial, but we attach to the promise. So as we began to do that, God began to move. And over I'm pleased to say, since that period of time, God, He got us through over and over, got us into our biggest years of sales. We got some of the largest contracts in the Southern Hemisphere. The blessing of God's come on us. And that's part of the turnaround. And I watched God create initially a pathway through the world He got us through. But then we came out the other side into a promised land of blessing and favor. So that's the promise. That's how it works. Faith creates. So what are you creating right now? What are you declaring right now? I've got scriptures on my wall. I'm going to put a little one up, a photo up. I think, guys, you've got this photo just to bring you into my study. So this is so for the church, we've got a vision, a dream for the decade, 7 years, seven things for 10 years. And I would pray over those things. And then I've got some prophetic themes. And so across, literally, I've got a wall like this, and right across the top is 12 faith scriptures that I declare every day, because that was me renovating my faith life. Maybe some of us, this is your goal for the year, to renovate your faith life. And so I would declare those every day. And then under every promise or every prophetic promise, this is for the church, I would write the rhema words. So when I pray for our church, the word of God is that there's acceleration like we've never seen before. The C3 Powerhouse is coming into a season of revival that we're going to see. And this is what the Lord, so I just read scriptures. A little one becomes a thousand, a small one a strong nation, and I, the Lord, will hasten it in its day. And when I declare it, faith comes. But not just faith comes, but you're creating with the word of God. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, it's time to create something with faith. All right, you can put that down. Thanks, guys. So that's faith. We frame the world. But hey, we can't just stop at faith, because the how is faith and... Come on, I said it earlier. If anyone was listening to my preaching, faith and... wisdom. Thank you. I heard that from Melbourne first. That was awesome. Carlene and Vito, I heard you guys say that. You're amazing. Faith and wisdom. Bible says this, Proverbs chapter 24. Remember, the Lord created the world by declaring and by wisdom. There was wisdom. The world was created by wisdom. Proverbs 24 says this, verse 3 and 4. A house is built by wisdom and becomes strong through common sense. Through knowledge, its rooms are filled with all sorts of precious riches and valuables. Proverbs 28, verse 26. Those who trust their own insight are foolish, but anyone who walks in wisdom is safe. How's that vision that you've got for your life going to become a reality? Faith and wisdom. So what's wisdom, and how do we get wisdom? Because it's quite possible to try and work everything out on your own and spend your life going around in circles, making mistakes and not really cluing in the fact that things are going wrong aren't God's fault. It's just that I'm not walking in wisdom. And you can be declaring one thing with your mouth and undoing it with unwise activity. So faith and wisdom need to go hand in hand. Faith and wisdom. So how do we get wisdom? Let me just break this down, because this is how you get your plan for every vision to come to pass. This is a long-term plan. So wisdom, first of all, wisdom comes from God. If any of you lacks wisdom, James tells us, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. If any of us lack wisdom, this is after James has just said, count it all joy when you have various trials. And then he says, make sure you stir up your faith. And then he says, if you've got faith, ask for wisdom, because God will give you wisdom. God's the source of wisdom. Proverbs 2, verse 2 to 6. Tune your ears to wisdom. Concentrate on understanding. Cry out for insight. Ask for understanding. God's got wisdom for your life and for my life. In fact, often we don't need a miracle if we're walking in wisdom. Sometimes we do, but often we don't. We're just flowing in a supernatural anointing from wisdom. Okay, search for them as you would for silver. Seek them like hidden treasures. Then you will understand what it means to fear the Lord, and you will gain knowledge of God, for the Lord grants wisdom. Where does wisdom come from? The Lord, wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. The Bible is full of wisdom. The Bible is so much wisdom for life comes from the Bible. So we want to search the Bible. A hot tip, the Bible's a greater source of wisdom than TikTok. Greater than even Instagram. Quite possibly greater than Facebook. No doubt about it. The Bible is a faith book, not a Facebook. And it's got loads of wisdom for you or me. Come on, somebody. So you're like, okay, my vision. Okay, so that's the first thing. Wisdom comes from God. The second thing is wisdom seeks knowledge and counsel. Wisdom and humility go hand in hand. The proud person says, I'm not going to ask and no one's going to tell me. I know what's best. That's what the proud person says. The wise person humbles themselves and says, God, I need wisdom, but I need you to give it to me. I'm going to search for it, and I'm going to search for knowledge and for counsel. Proverbs 28:26, those who trust their own insight are foolish, but anyone who walks in wisdom is safe. Come on, it's just a good moment when we all go, I don't really know. I don't know. I need help. Come on, somebody, just practice saying that. I don't know, and I need help. Come on, somebody in Melbourne, say that after me. I don't know, and I need help. Some of you are like choking on that. I could sense it. Humility says, I need help. I need it from God. I need it from his word. I need it from others. So this is Proverbs 20 verse 18. Plans succeed through good counsel. So don't go to war without wise advice. So we need to get some wisdom. One more. Proverbs 11 verse 14. Where there's no counsel, the people fail. But in the multitude of counselors, this is people, guidance, people who give wisdom, there is safety. So this, let me just break it down and go, okay, what does this look like? Last week I shared one of the visions that we have for our life is to have an outstanding marriage. I did say that that's not me outstanding in the backyard wondering what I've done wrong, all right? Although that is it at times. An outstanding marriage. So what does that look like? Well, it means particularly we're gonna have an investment mindset. You don't just automatically have an outstanding marriage. In fact, life conspires when you put two people from two different backgrounds with two different personalities, the spender and the saver get married together. Come on, somebody. You put two different people together and it's going to be hard work. So to have a great marriage, you got to work at it. You got to pursue it. So for us, it looks like this. This is our strategy for a great marriage. There's things like we're going to do marriage courses. We're going to invest in our marriage. This year as a church, we've got an online, like a Zoom night where we're going to have a marriage course night from home. So that's going to be later on this year. We read books and listen to podcasts. This year, one of my goals, actually my goal for our marriage is I've bought some stuff from the Gottman Institute, a number of hours of listening, and I'm just going to listen and soak in it so that I continuously invest and get knowledge and counsel. Because I don't know, and I need help. Come on, somebody. I don't know, and I need help. So I'm going to keep getting it as much as I can. Don't say amen to that too loud, Danielle. That's not cool. Remember, there was a season when we were doing it tough in our marriage, and we talked with our pastors, and our pastor said it'd probably be a good idea for you to get counseling. We kept getting snagged on one issue. I said it'd be a really good idea for you to get counseling. I'm like, oh, I give counseling. I don't get counseling. But eventually we shipped off to a counselor for maybe 4 or 5 months. And I'm so glad I did, because he helped unpack a whole lot of truths and gave us tools to help us for the life, our life going forward. That's a result. And you know what? Part of my tendency was like, no, I'll just declare we've got a great marriage. Come on, we're just going to pray. And then that'll magically do it. No, faith and wisdom. Wisdom gets counsel. Wisdom gets advice. Wisdom asks. All right, the last thing. So wisdom comes from God. Wisdom seeks knowledge and counsel. And lastly, wisdom makes a plan. I told Danielle today I'm going to preach a bit about planning. She's so proud of me. This is a big moment for me. Now, wisdom makes a plan. I love strategic plans. You might have heard it said like this: people don't plan to fail, they fail to plan. So once you've got your clear vision of from God of where you want you go, your life to go, there needs to be a plan that goes along with every point. Let's for example, it might be this. Maybe your plan is to buy a house. Your vision is to own your own home, all right? It's on your vision board. And you've got a picture of that vision. God's given you a scripture and it's up there and you're declaring it and you're believing it. So you're exercising your faith. That's part of your plan. Exercise your faith. Then I'm gonna give you like a 7-point get your own home plan right now. Who wants that? Who wants that? Let's write that down. So let's go. So number one, get a scripture from God so you've got a vision for it. Number two, make sure, declare that over your life. So just keep speaking, frame your world. This is what God said. I know the market's gone through the roof. I know I don't have enough money right now. I know it looks impossible, but God's given me a promise, so I'm gonna declare his promise. That's number two. The third thing I'm gonna do as my plan to get my own home is I'm gonna tithe. I'm gonna say, God, I can't do this on my own. I need to get into the miraculous zone, so I'm gonna tithe and honor you, and I'm gonna build your house so that you can build our house. That's the principle I'm gonna go with. Number four, I'm gonna sow sacrificially. Because if you want God to multiply, if you need a miracle to get a house, then you need God to multiply back into your life. So you've gotta give God seed to multiply above the tithe. That's the first part. That's 4 points, ready to go. Then this is what you wanna do. There's probably more than seven, sorry. You wanna research the market. Have a look around, what's available? What could you buy? Usually your first house is not your best house. You want like I'm giving some wisdom here today. You don't go for the dream house that somebody else got after 15 years. Go, just get yourself in the market, get started. See a financial planner or a banker or a broker and work out how much you would need to borrow to get that house. That's just a practical step. This is your plan. Then start saving for your deposit. Maybe talk to a family member. Someone else might be able to help lend you some money to get that deposit that you need. We did that to get into our first home. We got from an aunt who was happy to lend us a little bit of money. So that was our strategy. Then, you got to restrict your spending. I know. It's not just speaking promises of God. Faith and wisdom. If you've got a vision, you'll live within restraint. So you've got to have this clear vision of what it looks like to not have to be bounced from one rental to the other, a clear vision and not have to ask whether I can put that thing on the wall or not. You've got a clear vision of what your house looks like. You've got that vision, you've got that promise, and then you keep that in the forefront and go, all right, do we really need to spend that money? It's disposable. So no, we're gonna save a deposit. And then you've got to hustle. Maybe that hustle means getting an extra part-time job. Could be getting some extra work. A friend of mine said, I'll get paid $50 an hour to clean up leaves from people's gardens. I was just raking it in. Sorry, I don't know. I did hear that bakers have quite a few part-time jobs. It's a great way to make extra dough. Come on, somebody, I'm here to help you today. Only if you need it, of course. Oh, come on. Thank you so much. We go. Sorry, Melbourne. Sorry. Don't leave us just yet, Melbourne. It's a vision with a strategy. A vision without a strategy is just a good idea. But then you might go, that's my strategy. What's my goal this year? Well, our goal this year is to get out of personal debt so that we can start saving a deposit. This might be a 7-year plan. And you got to break it down year by year. Not just God, you do it. God can move, but he moves on your moving. He moves on your wise steps. He moves on your strategy. So I want us just to pray right now. Let's close our eyes. Father, we just thank you for the vision that you have for our lives. Every person in this room, every person watching online, every person in Melbourne right now, you before we were even born, created us with a vision. It's exciting, it's fulfilling, it's big. So I pray that you'd flame the fire of vision in our hearts. Help us to write down your vision, make it plain. And then I'm asking, Holy Spirit, that we would be people of faith and wisdom. Faith and wisdom. Come on, faith and wisdom. Lord, I pray for people right now who are being tested through discouragement, through delay, through opposition. Let the word of God surge on the inside. You've got this, Lord. You're a miracle worker. Let's get the word in our mouth and frame our world. And Lord, I pray for wisdom. Connect us to wise counselors. Connect us to people with great fruit in their life who can pour wisdom into us. Come on, let God speak to your heart right now. Let Him speak to your heart. Where do you need more faith? Where do you need a wise plan? Speak to us, Holy Spirit. Speak to us, Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, amen.